big question is, do we have sound? Do we have sound?
Comment. Check my comment.
What did the comment say?
No, you were good. I hear you.
You have sound? Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The third reading of Parshas Shlach. So, Moshe Rabbeinu was allowed to send Meraglim on his own accord. And we talked all about that. Moshe Rabbeinu sends Meraglim, and they get the wrong idea very quickly. Kalev goes to Hebron, and it's only through his prayers at the gravesite of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah in Hebron, that he's saved from the machinations of his peers. They return, they bring the bad news, people rebel, things are not good. The third reading opens with Yehoshua and Kalev desperately trying to muster the people, desperately trying to tell them that this is a big mistake. God can do anything. We can do this, but the people don't want to listen. In fact, they're prepared to stone them. And so, then Hashem appears, and he says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm done. How much longer will this people incite me, infuriate me? It says one time too many. I'm going to slaughter this whole people. They'll all die here, and that'll be the end of it. So Moshe Rabbeinu begins to mount a defense. And the first thing Moshe Rabbeinu says is Vishamu Mitzrayim. So we're in chapter 14, verse 13. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Egypt will hear. What will they hear? Here you took this nation out in great force and a great might, and then what happened? And then you killed them all in the desert. And what do you think they'll say? They'll say it's because he couldn't battle the mighty nations of Canaan. The Amru El Yeshev Haaretz Hazais. They'll say to, or with regard to, the people living in this land, that they heard that you are Hashem, that's Bekerev Ha'am. You are the Lord God that's amongst this nation. Asher ayin ba'ayin nida, that this is a nation that sees God eye to eye, so to speak. Ba'anon cha'omid aleim, they see that your cloud stays upon them. Uva'amud anon atahilach, and there's this cloud of glory that you go with them, lefneim, before them, and it's fire at night. And then despite the fact that God is with them, which is indicative of the notion that God very much cares about them, and it can't be something they did wrong, as the Sefarno says, ayin ba'ayin, the eye of Hashem refers to Hashgacha Pratis, that God's keeping an eye on us. So God keeps an eye on us, and He cares about us. And anoncha oymed aleihem, as the Rekeach says, not literally there's a cloud on their heads, but that there's a cloud of glory, God's sheltering wings that are spread over the people. And he killed them. They're not going to believe this. They're going to say, Vehimata es ha'om hazeh, verse 15, you killed this nation. Ki ish echad, as one person. Ve'omru ha'goyim asher shamu eshimacha, the nations who heard of your renown, they will say, lemer, saying, Mibilti yecheilas Hashem lehavi es ha'om hazeh el ha'aretz. God simply couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. And because he couldn't do it, because he couldn't bring them al aretz hashnishba lahem, vayishchot him bamidbar. So what does he do? He's got a nation on his hands now. Can't give him back to Egypt. So he slaughtered him. He got rid of him. That's what they will say. This is the defense that Moshe Rabbeinu mounts. Let's take a look in Rashi, verse 15. Vehimata es ha'om hazeh ish echad. Pisaim. Suddenly, everybody dies. Because God said, akenu badever. I will smite them with pestilence. U'miteich kach yoimru. And the fact that all the people died suddenly, they'll say, Ve'omru Mitzrayim, or another version, Egypt will say, Hagoyim asher shamu eshimacha, the people who heard me, built it, they'll say, God couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. They'll say, Mibilti yecheilas Hashem. Verse 16, Mibilti yecheilas Hashem. This is what the nations will say. Egypt, he could fight with. Egypt, he could have overwhelmed. The Canaanites are too powerful. He could declare war with open plains. He could declare war with his pyramids, but when it's urban fighting, That's the deal. Our fortified cities, there he couldn't fight with them. He can pull the nation of Egypt or its army out to the Red Sea. And there, when he's got the home advantage, then he can take care of him. But God should go into the cities. God, that's not going to happen. Couldn't do it. Rashi says, "Lefi sheyeshvei haaretz chazokim v'giberim," because the inhabitants of the land are mighty, strong people. You can't compare Pare. Egypt was the superpower of the day, and the Pharaoh was the mightiest monarch. He says, yeah, but there was one king. He had shleishim ve'echad malachim. There were 31 sovereigns who claimed some kind of ownership of Eretz Yisrael. 31 sovereigns. 31 kings. Mm-hmm. So God couldn't battle 31 kings. And therefore, zeis yoyimru, this they will say, al yeshvei haaretz hazeis, with regard to this land. That's not what the people will say. That's what they say about it. So you see that? Canaan he couldn't start up with. There he had to back away, and he slaughtered the people. He built the Yechelus. It was simply inability. Because he couldn't bring them in. Shchatam, so he got rid of him. He got a problem on his hands. Right? Get all the people. What are you going to do with him? Slaughter him. That's it. Get rid of him. Now, this is Moshe Rabbeinu's defense. It's the best defense he could muster. Why doesn't he say, oh God, have mercy, forgive them, they made a mistake this time. Guess what he said last time. And God said, enough. How much more are we going to have to put up with this? Again, again, and then again and again? This is again and again, there's no difference. So Hashem says, Moshe says to God, yeah, that's true, the people, they're sinful. But you have a public relations disaster on your hands. Because what will the people say? What will the world say? That's an issue. Yecheles, Rashi says, is shem davarhu. It's a noun. It's like the wherewithal. So God doesn't have the wherewithal, they'll say, to be able to do this. Okay, so what is Moshe's request? This is the why. This is why God should stay his anger. This is why God should not carry out his intentions of destroying the people. So what should God do? What is Moshe asking for? Verse 17. Ta'ata. And now, here's the request. Yigdal no koyach adnai. Hashem should magnify the power of the Shem Adnos, the mastery of Hashem. Kasher dibarta, as you have spoken, Leimer. Funny verse. What's going on here? Yigdal no koyach adnai. I'm purposely mispronouncing that. God should magnify the power of mastery as he had spoken. What is the power of mastery? What does it mean to yigdal? What does it mean to make it big? And what is as he has spoken? What's going on here? So first of all, it's interesting to note that there's a large yud in Yigdal. There's a number of different explanations for this. I will just tell you what the Balaturim says. He says, remember the merits of the patriarchs. The Mishnah says, Asara Nisim Nisnasa Aveseinu. That there was 10 tests that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave our ancestors, specifically Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, the founding father, had 10 tests. So he had 10 tests. This is the Yigdalna. This is the use of the Yud with the large Yud. Avraham emphasized the 10 tests of Avraham. He overcame, even if they're not deserving in his merit, you should be able to forgive them and move ahead. Okay, but that's not Pshat. What is the Pshat here of Yigdalna Koyach Adnai? So Rashi says simply, Yigdalna Koyach Hashem means, it's kind of a shortened verse. The point that's being made here is lases diburecha. Do your words. Fulfill your words. That's the meaning. Muster your mastery. Do your words. Fulfill your words. Kesher dibarta. Which words? The words you spoke. Okay, Rashi says, Uma wa dibur. What in heaven is Moshe speaking about? Which words? Wait, the words that Hashem just said? Which ones? The ones that akenu vadever v'erishenu? That I will smite them and destroy them? Which words? Which words should Hashem should fulfill? So that's how the next verse unfolds. Hashem erech apayim v'rav chesed. God has endless patience, enormous kindness. Nasi oven is able to bear iniquity. Mafesha v'nakele v'nake peked oven avin aves albanim al shileishim v'adibayim. This verse, my friends, is known as Yudgimel Midas Rachman, the 13 attributes of mercy. In other words, Hashem has great mercy. And Moshe Rabbeinu already heard that. And now he's saying to Hashem, it's time to muster your mercy. Va'ata yigdal na koyach Hashem means it's time to muster your mercy, your great mercy. Let's take a look in Rashi first, and then we'll try to figure this out. Hashem erech apayim. So the first thing is erech apayim. Apayim here refers, literally means face, but it refers to the anger. Person's face becomes infuriated, nostrils flare. So erech apayim means that the anger is stilled. There isn't a reaction in anger. So Hashem delays his anger, letzadikim, v'lerashoyim, for the righteous, who sometimes color outside the lines, and for the wicked, who break every law all the time. But where did he say this? When did God say that he has mercy and he has endless patience? When did God say that he will be slow to anger, but that he will not react? Well, God said this, kisha'ola Moshe l'amorim, when Moshe went up, proverbially speaking, to the heights. Matzai ha'ala kodesh baruch hu shaya yosha v'kosef. He found, anthropomorphically speaking, God writing. What was he writing? Hashem erech apayim. God has great mercy. Amar lo'i, Moshe Rabbeinu queried, l'tzadikim. God has great mercy for tzadikim. God said to Moshe, after the Shoyim, also for the wicked. Amar lei, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Shoyim, Yevedu, let the evil be doers be destroyed. Why do you have to have great mercy for the evildoers? Amar lei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God said to Moshe, funny you should say that. Shetitztarech ledover, you'll need this yet. This was fortuitous. It's good you happened to catch me writing this. You'll need this yet. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what this means. You need this yet? Kishachato Yisrael be'egel, u'b'meraglam. When the Jewish people sinned with the golden calf, and when they refused to enter the land of Israel, ispalel Moshe lefanav Moshe Rabbeinu davin before Hashem. And what did he ask for?
Mercy.
He said, "Dear God, muster your mercy." And as such, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God says, "Halei amarta li, you told me letzadikim. You told me mercy is for tzadikim." And Moshe said, yeah. Bahalei amarta li after the shayim, but you told me it's for the wicked too. So therefore, since you told me it's for the wicked too, right now, Moshe Rabbeinu says, v'ata yigdal na koyach Hashem. So now, Moshe Rabbeinu says to God for the second time, muster your mercy. Which mercy? You know, the mercy you spoke about. Hashem erech apayim v'rav chesed nesi avim v'fesha. The mercy that Hashem stills his anger, and that Hashem has patience, and that Hashem carries sin. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu asked for. Now, in a word then, verse 17 means, Yigdal na koyach Adnai, the meaning of magnifying the power of Hashem, what then does it mean? Think about this. What is Moshe Rabbeinu asking for? What's he asking for? He's asking for great mercy. He's asking that God reveal the mercy he spoke about. So if Moshe Rabbeinu is asking for mercy, what is the meaning of Yigdal na koyach Hashem? What is the meaning of magnify the power of mastery? What does it mean? So the Medrash HaChefetz says, Ein seif l'gdulase, God is infinite. And Moshe Rabbeinu is appealing to the infinite nature of divinity in every level. Everything is infinite. God is infinite, so his mercy is infinite. But Moshe Rabbeinu here makes an appeal to the infinitude, if you will, of God. That's the meaning of Yigdal na koyach Hashem. However, if we take a look in other Midrashim, and this is not only reflected in the Medrash, but it's also brought down, the Chizkuni quotes this Medrash almost verbatim in his commentary. We'll see the actual Medrash quoted right here in the Beit HaChumash. If you want to open up your books too.
If Moshe Rabbeinu was a tzaddik, and God didn't show him infinite mercy, that refers to hitting a rock.
One thing at a time. Let's focus on this now. Page Reish Chavav. So here we have a quote from the Medrash Rabbah. Va'ata yigil na koyach Hashem. Now magnify your mercy. So the Medrash Rabbah says, and the Chizkuni quotes this almost verbatim. V'tinatzeach midas harachamim l'midas adin. Right now there's a struggle, proverbially speaking. There's the measure of judgment, which has been very, very harshly activated, for good reason. Moshe says to God, animate, activate the measure of mercy. And let the mercy overwhelm the judgment. The judgment is very intense now. The mercy should be minatzeach. The mercy should, so to speak, win and carry the day. So now it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It makes so much sense. Maybe this is why Rashi didn't even say anything. Maybe it's self-understood. I mean, the Chizkuni, all he does ultimately is just quote the Medrash. It's word for word what he says. That the meaning of magnify your power, magnify your mastery, really is saying magnify your mercy. Magnify your mercy. Okay, so that kind of makes sense. It fits verse 17, flows very, very nicely into verse 18. Magnify your mastery, Hashem Erech Apayim. Speaking of the Yud Gimel Midos. So the Rebbe says, that's interesting. In other words, Yigdal Na Koyach Hashem, or Yigdal Koyach Adnai means, magnify your mercy. So the Rebbe says, tell me then, Tzarech Biur, Me'ach Hasher Kavein Asa Shol Meisha B'Tfilo Zu, Hoy Solo Eiris Midos HaRachamim. Since Moshe Rabbeinu intends here to muster mercy, as the Medrash's languages, v'tenatzeach midas harachamim l'midas hadin, the attribute, the measure of mercy, should overwhelm or be victorious, so to speak, over the measure of judgment. So madua le'yishtamish b'tfilose b'shem havaya. Why doesn't he use the Shem Yud Kei Vavke, which is Shem Yud Kei Vavke, is the name that represents God's mercy. In other words, the different names of God represent the different measures. Elohim, for example, represents the notion of severity, judgment, Lord. Elohim is the Lord. If you have to come before the Lord, you're in trouble. You're getting judged. Lord's over you. Havaya is a God of compassion and mercy, the God of revelation. So if Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to say, if we're to accept the Medrash, what the Medrash says, and the Chizkuni says, that's the simple pshat. And Rashi doesn't seem to disagree at all. Kasha Dibarto, as you spoke, what did you speak about? Mercy. This is about mercy. And God said, but you said only for tzaddikim. And Moshe says, yeah, but you said for the Shoyim too. So muster that mercy. So if we're mustering mercy, then Moshe Rabbeinu should say, Yigdol Nar Koyach Havaya. He should use the name of Hashem, which represents mercy. Why does he use the name of Adnos? The name which actually is closely linked to the name Elohim. Because the name Adnai, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, comes from the notion of Odoin, God is the master. Very similar to Elohim, God is the Lord. The Lord and master are kind of two phraseologies that are hand in hand. So it actually doesn't seem to make sense. If Yigdal Na, magnify please, make greater, muster mercy, then it doesn't fit with the thesis that we have all along the Chumash, where the name of Hashem, different names of Hashem, is said to mean a unique measure. But that's the measure he's working on now. He's working on the measure of mercy. If he's working on the measure of mercy, he should say so. As they say in English, if that's what you mean, why don't you say so? Yeah. Say so. Why doesn't he use Havaya, but said uses Dafka Shem Adnai, which is kosher l'midas hadin? So the Rebbe says via Shleimar that the likely explanation is as follows. Hasibul Akach, the reason for this is Mishum Shechetosam Shal Meraglim Pogam B'Shem Adnai. The sin of the Meraglim, injured, if you will, or impacted the arena of Adnai. And therefore, the Tikkun L'Chet Hazeh, what will be the counterweight to this sin? Will be B'Emtzos Tikkunei V'Hagbaras Koyche Shal Shem Zeh. The Jewish people, through their sin, weakened, so to speak, this name, this measure. So Hashem will now strengthen that name or measure. Okay, what does that mean? What does that mean? Yigdol Na Koyach Adnai, because they weakened Adnai, strengthen Adnai. What does that mean? So the Rebbe explains. Hezbe Adron. Hachsiba, Hasiba L'chshosham Shom Meraglim. Why were the Meraglim concerned? What was their anxiety based on? What did they say they were afraid of?
The people of the land.
The giants.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
Swallow you up and spit you out.
Kind land of. Will swallow you, meaning the people will be too strong. You won't be able to win. They were afraid of the Melchama. Ba'amei HaKnaan. This is exactly what they said. They said the nations of Canaan are too powerful. That's what Moshe said Egypt will say. That's exactly what he said they're going to say. They said that. So let's understand this. You cannot suggest that lechoisa hedera emuna biyicholtei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You cannot really say that they didn't believe God could do miracles. You can't say that. Why can't you say that?
Because they've seen.
Because they see. Yeah. How many miracles you want to see to believe it? I can do this. Yeah, can you? Show me. I showed you. Once, twice, three times. You sure you can do this? Did I not show you? Show me one more time. Fine. And then the next thing came in. How are you going to do this? I can do this. Show me. Okay. God showed them again. This has been the story. If you want to synopsize the story of from when they left Mitzrayim, it's the Jewish people coming to a situation and say, what's he going to do now? He can't possibly get us out of this one. We're between a rock and a hard spot. There's a raging sea in front of us. God says, shh, I'll show you. He showed them. They said, we're thirsty. He showed them. They said, we're hungry. He showed them. Everything they complained about, he could do it. Well, if he could do it, if God said he can do it, and he did it, is it really logical to say that they came along and said, well, we don't think he can do this? How many times did you want him to demonstrate he can do it? What were they thinking? So the Rebbe suggests that there's a very sophisticated and nuanced kind of argument that they made. There's a reason they said, this he can't do. He can do everything else. This is different. Why? Tainasa Maisa, here's what they said. They said, Hanisim Efshari, miracles can happen. They can happen in the desert. Shabaya Anhaga Kula Hu. The whole existence of the Jewish people in the desert is one big fat miracle. We have a holiday that celebrates not an event, but a 40-year continuous event. You know what the holiday is called? Sukkot. Where God sheltered us. Because the whole notion of being there was totally off the charts. Ach im haknisa le'eretz neshemes, they said, but now we're going out of that system. Now we're leaving the Wild West behind. Now we're going into a settled land. We're going to an urban area. Makam Shabbai Kavah Kadosh Baruch Hu Atzme. God Himself said that there's Hanhaga Tivis V'Nisis. God Himself says that nature is cherished and dear, and that He doesn't break or shatter nature. We're going into the land in a natural way. We're not going to live in Disneyland. We're not going to be living in La La Land. We're living in a real land. There's not going to be food falling from heaven. There's not going to be miraculous water bubbling up from beneath the earth. We go to a real land. The lands that require farming. A land that's going to require governance, a land that's going to have politics, all the things that lands have. So they said, once we shift into that mode, shuv ein machum lehisach shusam shel nisim, then miracles are over. When it depends, we're in miracle mode, we're in miracle mode. But when miracle mode ends, we go into natural mode, then natural mode is natural mode. And once we get there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu eniyach linik benigid l'klalim, he cannot violate his own principles. His principles were, he follows nature. But once we leave miracle land behind and we go into a natural state of things, God Himself can't then break the rules that He put in place. As we say earlier, quoting our sages, it says, "Kaviyachol afilu balabayis in yachol lahitzi kelev mishol." Even the owner can't take his own objects out. He owns it, but he can't get to it. It's not on hand. Tousim hoisa bekach. This was their mistake. Heim savru. They thought shahag bolus shekaveh kadosh baruch hu magbilus kaviyachol gam oisei atzmei. They thought the limitations that God imposes are also self-imposed. This was their mistake. Heim lo hevinu. They couldn't grasp and understand shekoychish la kadosh baruch hu eni mugbul, that God is by definition limitless, omnipotent. Even when Almighty God sets up Shahan Hogatia Bitsurim Siyemis, that things are going to run a certain way, Yochalu Lashana Zeis, it can be switched, changed, just like that. Kichol Sha'ilatsim Ufanov. The moment he wants, it changes. But you put principles in place. Yes, and I changed them now. I changed him now.
I thought he won't violate the principles of a system that he set in place.
Hashem could violate any system.
Could.
And does. Miracles have happened in normal situations
sure.
also.
Miracles, yeah.
They said, God only plays by the rules. He has miracle rules and natural rules. We're leaving behind the miracle world, we're going into natural, that's it, it's over. Now God has shackled himself. God limited himself. In other words, the Miraglim, what did they say? They said that God doesn't have the adnos, doesn't have the mastery. That there's a certain reality in which God doesn't have mastery. So when God is doing miracles, making miracles. But then God's mastery is no longer effective because God here has essentially allowed other forces to be in place. And now it's natural reality. Now it's not a spiritual reality. And in that case, so he's not really an Adon, he's not really a master everywhere. In that situation, he's no longer the master. The question is God's mastery. They said God's mastery is limited only to situations where nature hasn't been animated or activated. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Yigdal Nashem Koyach Adonai. What we need here is God to demonstrate his mastery. Where should God demonstrate his mastery first? The first thing he should demonstrate his mastery is despite the fact that the Jewish people have sinned, and by every stretch of imagination, and every rule of rhyme and reason, what should they get? The book thrown at them. God should show mastery anyway. And the mastery will be that despite the fact that we did something so wrong, God will still enable his mercy to, so to speak, overwhelm his judgment. And that's the meaning of Yigdol HaKoyach Adonai. They said there's a limitation of mastery. God, show your mastery. That you can be ready to punish them, and they deserve it. And yet it won't happen anyway. Why? Because Midas HaRachamim will be able to overwhelm that. Now, does Moshe Rabbeinu's prayer get answered? Think about this. Does he get his wish granted? He really does, because we didn't die in the desert, at least not suddenly. The men who made trouble did die in the desert. Because ultimately Hashem says to Moshe, okay, the Jewish people will remain, they will enter the land of Israel, but not these people. Only when this generation has gone, the women all lived on, the men did not live on. And only when they slowly died out after 40 years did Hashem say, now we're ready for the rest of the story.
But Moshe Rabbeinu never received rachamim.